This morning's reading is from Luke 8, verses 4 to 18. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than what was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables so that those seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy. When they hear it, they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those that hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in and see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out in the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken away from him. This is God's word.
Well, it's a privilege to be with you this morning. Ian and Nathan are away, so you're stuck with me. But it's a privilege to be able to share with you this morning. I'm looking forward to it. This morning's sermon's really a brief summary of things that I've been covering with some of the guys in my Sunday school class, the 6 to 8 group. I've sort of been covering it over a year, and now I'm trying to cram it into one sermon. So we're going to be going for a while. No, we won't be too long, hopefully. But we could spend many sermons on these things and look at them in a lot more detail, but obviously we won't be. But let's ask for God's help. We're going to need it as we cover these things. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for Christ. Thank you for his sacrifice. We thank you for that work that has been done on our behalf, that we can be now right with you. And we just pray, God, that we would never forget these things, never become complacent to them. Thank you for communion and this time to remember what you have done for us. And we thank you for this time of singing and praising you, and as well time in your word and prayer. We thank you that can lift us up and point us to you. And we just pray that right now you would be directing our thoughts and our hearts to the things of you. And we just pray that you would ready us to hear your word, and we pray that we would respond rightly to it. Amen. Today our focus is really just one phrase in our passage, and it comes in verse 18. It says, verse 18, "Consider carefully how you listen." As we will see, this phrase, it comes in the context of the parable of the sower, where we see different people and how they listen and respond to God's word. And some get it wrong. Others get it right. And we really need to learn how to listen. Otherwise, we might get it wrong. Or we might get it right. The Greek word here for consider carefully, it's one Greek word for those two words, could be translated take heed, take care, pay attention. It's a command, the word there. It's a command. And we need to realize right at the outset that we need to consider how to listen. Do we do that? Do we think about how we're listening? And in particular, how we're listening to God's word. Have you ever done this? Think of how many sermons you've heard over all your life, or even how many times you've read God's word and studied it, maybe in Bible study. For me, I've probably heard over 3,000 sermons in my life. You've probably heard more. Yet, what have you done with those sermons? How have they changed your life? Have they been wasted? Countless sermons that I have heard have not pierced my heart as they should, have not changed me in the ways that they should have. Why is this? Well, it's because of my heart and my lack of preparation, not so much the preacher and how they've shared things. Spurgeon says this. He says, "It seems to me that there are more preparations needed by the ground than by the sower, more by the hearer than by the preacher." So we shouldn't just blame the preacher if we're not getting something out of a sermon, but we need to look at our hearts. We need to look at how we're listening and whether we've prepared the soil of our hearts to hear God's word. Because really, if we've heard God's word just read out, we shouldn't go away unchallenged and unchanged by it, because God's word has at least been read out. And all throughout the Bible, before we get into our passage, I want to say all throughout the Bible, there's this call to listen to God's word. It keeps coming up again and again. It's a major theme through the Bible, and sometimes we miss it. It comes up right at the beginning in the law. We're told to, there's different commands to listen to God, and then this key one of in Deuteronomy, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one." And he says, "Hear, O Israel," a few times. We see it in Proverbs. The writer there says, "Listen, my son." All throughout the prophets, you hear throughout the prophets again and again, we could look at countless references, the phrase, "Hear the word of the Lord," the prophets say to God's people, "Hear the word of the Lord." And then in the Gospels, this theme continues. There's often a call to listen by Jesus. There's the phrase, "He who has ears, let him hear," comes in our passage as well. And then we get to the rest of the New Testament, and we could look at many verses that talk about listening. And one of them, a famous one, Romans 10:14. Faith comes by hearing God's word. It's all throughout God's word. We could spend sermons on this, but at least we can see clearly it's a theme of God's word, and it's something that is important in our lives as Christians, how we listen. So how do we listen? And have we considered carefully how we listen? And we need to, because it's one of the most important things we do. But maybe you're thinking still, why do I need to learn how to listen? It's just listening. Why do I need to learn how to listen? Well, here's a few reasons. We've already seen the Bible speaks so much about it. It's a major theme in the Bible. We see, secondly, because Jesus tells us to consider carefully how we listen. Thirdly, we need to learn how to listen because many don't listen in a right way. In the parable here, we see 3 out of 4 get God's word wrong. They all hear God's word. All 4 of these people, these types of responses, hear God's word, but 3 of them get it wrong. 3 of them don't listen in a right way. So we must never assume that we have heard God's word properly just because we've heard it with our ears. Number 4, why do we need to learn how to listen? Because the parable of the sower shows that whether we are saved depends on how we listen. Verse 12 really makes this clear. And as well in John 8:47, it shows that the ability to hear what God says shows whether we belong to him. Whether we're able to listen to God shows whether we belong to God. Number 5, Jesus says that listening to his words is the one thing that is necessary. If you know the story in Luke 10:38-42, where Martha, she's distracted with all the serving and the preparations, and Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha isn't quite very happy about this. She wants her Mary to help her out. What does Jesus say, though, to Martha? Only one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen what is better, and this will not be taken away from her. And then a final reason, why do we need to learn how to listen? Number 6, because you will be held accountable for what you've heard. All that you have heard, you will be held accountable for it. And this is scary. Where much is given, much will be required. Luke 12, turn to this passage. I want you to see it. In Luke chapter 12, just across a few chapters, Here we see a master who's put servants in charge, and then the master's about to return at a time that they don't know. We're not going to read the whole passage, but in Luke chapter 12, verse 47, we read this. That servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. The picture is this master who entrusts his servants, tells his servants to do certain things. The servant who knows what to do and doesn't do it is going to receive a greater punishment. Whereas the servant who doesn't know what he's supposed to do and doesn't do those things is not going to receive a greater punishment. Much is given. Where much is given, much is required. And it's here in the context of them listening to their master and doing what their master has said. And we need to realize this for us as well. Where much is given in how we've heard God's word, much will be required of us. I need to realize this. This is a scary thing for a pastor. All that I do, all the preparations I do, different studies that I run for people, all the things that I learn, I'm going to be held accountable for all of that. But so are you. How many things have you learned? How many things have you heard from God's word that you are going to be held accountable for? Much is given. Much is required. And I think we're in a church that we're in a place, in a society where we're blessed to be able to hear God's word so much. You need to realize much will be required of you because of that. And so because of all these reasons, I hope you can see you need to know how to listen. You need to listen in a right way. So I want us to now look at our entire passage back in Luke chapter 8. I want us to look at it briefly and see the points that it's teaching. It's probably one of the richest parables, I think, so we're not going to cover everything. There's so much here. I'd love to do maybe a few sermons on it, but maybe another time. There's so much there, but we really see this key point of how people, these different responses, how they're listening to God's word and then how they're responding to God's word. So we're going to consider that through the passage, and then I want us to come back and consider some ways of how we can be careful to listen to God's word. So that's what we're going to do. Now, why do I say this is a passage all about listening and responding to God's word? Well, it's really the theme that carries throughout the passage. Have a look. In verse 4, we see this crowd has gathered, and Jesus tells them a parable in verse 5 to 8. We're not going to read those verses. We'll read the verses where it's explained just a bit later. But he tells a parable, and it shows later on that this parable is about different responses to God's word, how people respond to God's word. It should probably be called the parable of the soils, not the parable of the sower, because it's more about the soils, not the sower. Then in verse 8, we see here this phrase that we mentioned before, he who has ears, let him hear. Jesus is calling people to hear him, to hear properly, because not everyone is able to hear. Some have ears that can hear, and some just have ears, in a sense. It's not enough just to have ears, because you can actually be hearing things but not actually understanding, not actually responding. What does Jesus mean? Well, we see it a bit more clearly in the following verses, verse 9 to 10. In verse 9, we see the disciples ask, what does the parable mean? And then verse 10, Jesus says this. He shows really here the purpose of why he speaks in parables. He says, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. He's talking to the disciples. They've been given the knowledge of the kingdom. But to others, I speak in parables. Why? Why does Jesus talk in parables? It's not so that we have great illustrations. Why does he talk in parables? So that those seeing, they may not see. Though hearing, they may not understand. It's a quote back in Isaiah here. But what we see is that the kingdom and the knowledge of the kingdom isn't given to everyone. It's given to some. And to others, they won't be able to hear properly. They won't understand. And Jesus uses the parable to conceal the truth from some and to reveal truth to others and to save them. That's how he uses his parables. And the parable of the sower here, we see, gives us three examples of those who do not rightly hear to God's word. Verse 11 makes it clear that the seed is God's word. That's what is being talked about. And the parable shows how people respond to the gospel, but really in general, all the times they hear God's word, how do people respond to it? Well, here we see how people will respond and how they do. And each type of soil here, we need to realize at the outset, each type of soil hears the word. This isn't talking about people who are out in the world who've never heard the gospel, who've never heard the Bible, never heard it taught. This is talking about us. This is talking about people who have heard the word. Every one of these different responses hear the word. But not all of them get it right. Like I've already been saying, three of them even seem to accept that word, seem to believe. But only one of those three gets it right in the end. Only one of them. So which are you? As we look at this parable quite briefly, consider which response are you? How have you responded to the gospel? How are you responding to the gospel? And how are you responding to God's word every day or every time you hear it? Which response are you? Which soil are you? The first one, we see the word is taken away. This is the seed on the path. Have a look at verse 12. This is where the parable is now explained. Verse 12. Luke 8, verse 12. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Like I said before, clearly hearing the word has the purpose of being saved. And if it isn't heard in a right way, we won't be saved. These people aren't saved. They don't believe and they aren't saved. So we see here some of the seed, it's fallen on the hardened paths, those paths around the fields where they'd be sowing the seed that would probably get walked on constantly, and the ground would be hardened. And what happens? Well, that seed cannot go down into that soil. It's hard. The seed's just going to sit there. It's going to get trampled on, but it's also going to get stolen, taken by birds and eaten. This first group, they hear the word, don't they? Verse 12, those along the path are the ones who hear. They do hear. But then, because of their hardened hearts, really, that word is taken away. Because of Satan, it says, he takes it away. God's word isn't able to sink down and take root into their lives. Instead, Satan steals it. Why does he steal it? How does he steal it? Well, he does it with distractions in our lives. He distracts us in many ways. There's constant beeping, constant notifications and buzzing, and people calling. He distracts us straight after a service with so many things to steal the word from us. He blinds us to our sin so we don't see the importance of God's word and the need to hear God's word. Maybe people have resentment toward God and that stops them from hearing properly. Or one of the big ones, he just makes us think in the back of our mind that, yeah, that's something I need to do, what I heard on Sunday, that sermon that was preached. I do need to do that, but not today. I'm going to do it tomorrow. And he makes us put it off again and again. Satan steals the word in many ways in our lives. Secondly, we see this second group, the second soil, the rocky soil, where the word withers away in the person's life. Be considering, is this you? Are you the first one? Has Satan taken the word from you? Are you already distracted right now, not even able to hear God's word? Or is the word going to wither away in your life? This is the second one. Have a look at verse 13. Verse 13. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it. But they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. They hear it again, this group. They hear it with joy. The seed sinks down, it springs forth up into a plant, even. Seems like they're believing. It seems like they're a Christian. Seems like this group is saved. This response seems good, but just because it seems like someone believes that, that doesn't mean anything. We need to be careful. So many people can get fooled by this. In our lives, we can think someone's professing to be a Christian. They must be, therefore. They are a Christian then. Or someone has signed something, written down something, or gone forward in a service. They must be a Christian because of this. This doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean anything. Time is going to prove people. That's what we see here. Time proves whether this seed has gone out, down into soil that is going to enable it to last. And we see that time proves that it hasn't. It's in rocky ground, shallow ground. It doesn't have what it needs in that soil to survive. And people can be like this. They seem to believe, but there's no deep root. What's the deep root? Well, Jeremiah 17:7-8 talks about a trust in the Lord being our root. It's not just a belief, an intellectual belief, but it's a deep trust in God. A reliance on Him. That's what matters. So are you this type of soil? Are you the type of soil that may joyfully accept God's word? It seems like you're believing, but it's only for a time. And then difficulties, trials, suffering, maybe sickness comes along and you wither away. Your belief in God's word and the gospel just fades because it was never real. It never had a root of a true trust in God. Are you like that? I've seen so many in my life that are like that. So many that profess for a time, they seem to believe, but they just wither away eventually. A couple of years later and they're gone, never to come back. Is this any of you? The third group we see here, the seed that is in the thorny soil. And here we see it's the word that's choked up. Verse 14. Have a look. Verse 14. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. And they do not mature. Again, this group, they hear the word, they shoot up, but they're soon choked by the thorns of worry, the cares of this life, possessions, money. It chokes out the word. Many so-called Australian Christians are like this. The gods of this world quickly choke up the one true God, don't they? Quickly choke up the word and smother the word. Is this any of you? Are there many gods in your life smothering God's word? Possessions, the worries of life, the jobs, the bills, the anxieties that life brings, are they smothering God's word? Stealing God's word from you? I fear this is going to be the case for so many people in churches. The word will be smothered. Their belief, their seeming belief in God will be smothered by this life and its cares and its worries. And though they may look saved here, it looks like they've believed and accepted. In the end, what happens? This love for the world, the thorns, it suffocates them. And they don't endure, they don't mature, because they never had that true belief, that trust, that dependence on God. And then we see our fourth soil. This is the seed in the good soil. The seed that matures, the word that matures in someone's life. Verse 15, have a look. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word and retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Here again, they hear the word, but it's in the good soil now, this group. And they hear the word with a noble and good heart. They hold fast to the word. It's got that idea of a real trust and dependence, utter dependence on God and His word. And they retain it, they last, they mature, they grow up and they produce fruit. This is the good soil. This is what we want to be. Now I want to ask the question here about this soil. What is the fruit that is produced? What's the fruit that's produced in them? Well, Luke chapter 3, back earlier on in Luke chapter 3 verse 18-13, it shows bearing fruit in Luke, it's used to refer to good deeds. Fighting sin, following after God, and good deeds. Fruit can be used in that way often. But I think our passage here points to something more particular in verse 16 to 17. Because verse 16 to 17 aren't some separate section. They're a bit tricky. It's hard. I struggled. Why are they here? What are they doing? But they're not some separate section because verse 18 ties them into the parable of the sower. Verse 18, that phrase we're considering, says, consider carefully how you listen, tying it back into what the parable of the sower has just been talking about. So verse 16 to 17 somehow fit in here. But how? How do they fit in this context of hearing and responding to God's word? Well, let's have a look at verse 16 to 17. Let's read them. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Now, we're trying to consider what's the fruit from verse 15, but we've got to dig into 16 to 17, I think, to get this and understand this. And the next question I want to ask is, what's the light being talked about here? Or that lamp, what's it talking about? Well, it's the message of Jesus. In Luke chapter 1, verse 76 to 79, you can turn there if you want. It's already spoken in Luke about how the Messiah he's talked of as the rising sun who lights the way in our hearts. And even in Luke chapter 2, verse 32, Jesus is spoken of as the light. And in John, we see Jesus is the light. It comes up again and again. Jesus and his message being spoken of as light. So in verse 16, it's saying the message of Jesus shouldn't be hidden. But when I read that and thought that and understood that, I thought, hang on, Jesus just said back in verse 10 that he is hiding his message. He is hiding the kingdom to some. He just said it back in verse 10. That's why he's using parables, to conceal the truth. What's going on here? Well, what Jesus is doing is special. Verse 16 here that we're reading right now, it's talking to his followers. It's talking to us and how we are to be. We are not to conceal the truth. We are to never to hide it. Matthew 10, verse 27, it makes it very clear. It says this. Jesus says, what I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the rooftops. It's very clear. Jesus was doing something special when he was there on the earth. But we are to not conceal or hide the truth. But how does this idea fit with the parable that we've just been talking about? Well, when the word is believed, like this good soil, when the word is believed, truly believed, fruit is born. And how's fruit born? Well, fruit is born when we become a light and a message of Jesus. When we share Jesus openly, in that we are bearing fruit. And fruit is born too, yes, when we bear and do good deeds. Because in good deeds, we actually lead people to the kingdom. What does Matthew 5, verse 16 say when it talks about light? Matthew 5, 16, Jesus says to his followers, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So yes, light is the message of Jesus and how we spread that. But light is our good deeds too. We see it in Matthew, and this can lead people to the kingdom. So we are lights to the message of Jesus in our words and our deeds, and this is the fruit we produce when we have truly believed. This is the fruit we produce. And it's really a fruit, when you think about it, it's fruit that produces what? More seed. As wheat grows up, it produces more seed. The seed of God's word, in spreading it to people. And the seed of God's word by spreading it through our lives, through good deeds that point people to God. And Matthew 13 as well, just to makes it very clear, it uses this same phrase in Matthew 13, verse 11 to 15, this same phrase that's being used here in our verses. is used there to show people who have been given spiritual sight. Sorry, we're going to get to that soon. But I want to read verse 18 and then we'll get to that. Verse 18. Have a look at verse 18. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. Even what he thinks he has will be taken from him. So we've just seen verse 16 to 17. We are the lights of Jesus' message. In our good deeds, we can point people to Jesus. And then, therefore, verse 18, it says it, we just read it. Consider carefully how you listen, because your listening is not only important for your heart, but the response of other people to the word and how they will hear the word depends on you. Because your fruit is being a light. Your fruit is to be a light. And if you haven't heard the word properly, you're not going to be a light. You're not going to bear fruit. So we need to listen carefully. And that's why I was bringing up Matthew 13, verse 11 to 15. It uses this same phrase that's used in verse 18 to show those who have been given spiritual sight will receive more and more spiritually. That's the idea of what's going on in the end of verse 18. Whoever has, it says, verse 18, will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken away. The first three soils, really. What did they have? Well, they seem to hear the word. They seem to believe. But what happens? It's taken. Even what they thought they had, that seeming belief, taken away. But the good soil, the one who has ears to hear, the one who can have, who has a spiritual understanding, as Matthew 13 is talking about, what do? Well, they receive more. They receive understanding. They receive more understanding. They receive more in the way that they bear fruit, that they produce seed, the seed of God's word that spreads to others. They're a light. That's why verse 18 is saying, whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has will be taken from him. So, verse 16 to 18, they're a bit tricky to understand, but they fit into the context of the parable. They're tied in. And we see here that the spreading of God's word is dependent on how we hear and how we listen. And those who hear in a right way will receive more. So, take care how you listen. Take care how you listen. So much is at stake. So we need to consider carefully how we listen. And right now, I want to get practical and see, how can we be careful in how we're listening? What should we be doing every time we come to a sermon? Every time even we hear God's word in a Bible study or hear it read out or read it for ourselves, how can we be prepared? And this is particularly for how can we be prepared to hear God's word when we come to a sermon. I have 15 suggestions. I'm sorry, there's a few. Please, if you want them in an email or something like that, or I can print them off, I'll take your email and I'll send it to you. But these are some of them. There's probably more. There'll be many more, I'm sure. But I have 15 for you. But really, it's three major things. Three major things that we need to do. All these 15 summarize down to three. What do we need to do? We need to prepare the soil of our hearts. We need to listen carefully. And we need to respond by bearing fruit, by growing in maturity. We need to prepare, we need to listen, and we need to respond. And we're going to see 5 points under each of those three. So number one, well, the first subheading really, we need to prepare. How do we prepare the soil of our hearts? Well, prepare your attitude as you come to hear God's word. Prepare your attitude. Come eager and expectant for God to speak through his word. And it's amazing how much you will grow. I know for me, the times that I don't come eager to hear God's word or eager for him to challenge me, I don't listen very well. But when you come eager and expectant for God to talk and hear from him, you will listen. You'll be waiting to hear something in the sermon or from God's word that will challenge your life. So come eager and expectant. Prepare your attitude to listen. Prepare your attitude. In 1 Peter 2, we are told we are to crave the word. Crave the pure spiritual milk of the word like newborn babies. Crave for it. Long for it. Be eager for it. Have that type of attitude when you come to hear God's word. So are you like that? If you want to listen, have that kind of attitude. And the key way to get it, to get an eager, expectant attitude, is prayer. Pray before the service. Pray before you come. Even if it's just 1 minute, but hopefully you can do more than that. But you'd be surprised if, even if we just did 1 minute of praying, each of you, before you came to the service, praying that God would make you expectant and eager to hear his word, you'd be amazed at what it would do. But I encourage you as well, come to the prayer meetings we have before at 8:10, just before the 8:30 service, and then at 4:40 before the evening service. Come to those and pray together. And it's amazing. When you do that, you will get this desire in you to hear God's word. As other people are praying for that, it will grow in you. So make use of that. Only a handful are making use of that time, but it can really help you. For me, I find it helps so much. It makes me eager to come into this service, and it makes me realize God's about to speak because of the prayers of others and that time together. So pray. Prepare your attitude. Be eager and expectant for God to speak. Number two, prepare physically. You need to come well rested. You need to come ready to listen. So that means you need to get a good rest Saturday night. Sunday mornings, they begin really how you plan to use your Saturday and how you plan to use your Saturday night. If you're doing stressful things as well in the morning just before and you're rushing around, it's going to make it hard to listen. You're going to have your mind clouded by things. So be organized. Prepare physically. Maybe it's getting clothes out before the night before, getting all those kids' snacks, which we have a lot of for Pearl to keep her through the service, getting all the snacks out ready the night before. Prepare physically, whatever it is. Anything you might even have to do at church, don't leave it to the last minute. Oh, I'm on prayer, I'm on communion, I'm on this prep. Oh, I'll do it in the morning. Get it done so you're not rushing. Prepare. And that way you can arrive early and you'll have a heart that's able to hear. You're not clouded and distracted by things. And get the rest that you need. Prepare physically. Come with as much energy as you can to listen to God's word. Number three, prepare your mind. Prepare your mind. How do we prepare our mind? Well, the one first way is we need to protect it. Protect our minds. Be careful of distractions. Be careful of where you sit. I like to sit, we've got the kids in, at the back so they won't distract you as much. Don't sit at the back then, because the kids are at the back. Move down to the front so you're away from distractions maybe. But sit in a place where you can have your mind focused. And as well, purify your mind during the week. Don't fill it with filth. Philippians 4 says, think on pure things, honourable, right, praiseworthy things. Think on these sorts of things. Don't fill it with filth. If you think you can fill your mind with the filth that's on, so much filth that's on Netflix, on the TV, or on the radio on your way here, and then come and expect to hear God's word, you're being fooled. It's like getting a dirty, greasy sponge, trying to soak up pure water with it, and then squeezing it out and thinking that you're going to get beautiful, clean water from that sponge. It's not going to happen. Don't fill your mind with filth and then come and expect to hear the pure word of God and be changed by it. Prepare your mind. Protect your mind. And instead, in the contrast of preparing, how can we prepare our mind? What's the positive things we can do? Well, try and read the passage beforehand. Or try and just be in God's word all week. The more you practice listening to God's word, the better you're going to be at doing it on a Sunday morning, because you've been doing it all week. Prepare your mind. Number four, prepare your heart. What I mean here, well, our spiritual walk throughout the week will affect how we listen. James chapter 1, verse 21 says something very important. It shows that it says we need to get rid of all moral filth so that we can humbly accept the word. James 1:21. We need to prepare our hearts. And we've seen in the parable we need a good and honest heart that is what? Able to retain the word, hold fast to it, trust in it. We need hearts that are prepared. We also need hearts that are prepared in the sense of not having issues with other people, because that's going to distract us. Don't come bitter at someone, come having confessed your sin to God, come making sure things are sorted out with others. And if they're not sorted out, don't sort it out Sunday morning or just out in the foyer with someone. Leave it till after, maybe Monday, because people will be distracted if you're bringing problems to them. Prepare your heart in these ways. Number five, prepare for the sermon. What do I mean here? You're not writing the sermon, so why do you have to prepare for the sermon? Well, you need to prepare for the sermon by praying for the sermon. So much of the sermon is the preparations of the sermon really come from prayer and your prayers. Spurgeon, he said this when he was asked, why is his preaching so influential? People would probably say, well, he's a great preacher. What did he say? My people pray for me. So you need to prepare for the sermon every time Ian, Nathan, or me, or someone else is coming up to preach God's word. Yes, we need to prepare, but have you been preparing? Have you been praying for God's word, praying for the preacher? You need to prepare. So there's our five ways we need to prepare. Now we move to the next point of listen. We need to listen carefully. So this is really our sixth point now. We need to listen with our Bible open. I think this is important. Listen with your Bible open. Be looking at the passage. God's word is able to pierce us. It's a two-edged sword that's able to pierce us. So let God's word be doing that. Not just my words or someone else's words, but have your Bible open and be looking at the passage so that God's word can pierce you again and again. Give every opportunity for God's word to do that. And be looking at the passage so you can check that the main point of that sermon, it is the main point of this passage. And the different things that are being said in this sermon is coming from God's word. You need to have your Bible open. Don't just trust a preacher. Trust God's word. Number seven, still on listening now, listen with your thoughts. In the sermon, listen with your thoughts. Think about what is not just being said, but what's sung. Think about what's read. Think about what's prayed. Think about these things. Set your minds on things above. Do that in the service. Dig into the text as the preacher is preaching and think about it. Maybe take some notes to help you reflect on something later on or to keep you focused. Maybe a note or two might help you. But don't take too many notes because it will distract you. Don't try and get everything down because you probably won't be able to listen then. And don't use the sermon as a time to do your own research or reading. Don't, throughout the whole sermon as well, this is a big one, don't watch the clock the whole time. Listen with your thoughts, focus on your thoughts, and don't watch the clock because you won't be focusing your thoughts on the sermon. You're obviously focused on something else after. Your thoughts are on something else and you want to get out of there. If you're like that, constantly watching the clock, which soil are you? You're the first one. Satan's already distracted you and taken the word from you. You've got no hope of hearing. So don't watch the clock. Listen with your thoughts and get rid of distractions as well. If you've got a phone, maybe you need to put it on flight mode. I sometimes use my phone to take notes during a sermon. Chuck it on flight mode. Otherwise, something's going to pop up and distract you or other distractions. Get rid of them so you can listen with your thoughts. Number eight. Listen prayerfully. Pray throughout the sermon. Pray that God would help you apply that point that really pierces your heart. Pray that you would be challenged by God's word. Pray that you would be accepting those hard things that God's word is saying. Those things that you don't want to do. Pray throughout the sermon. Number nine, listen with your body. This is an unusual one, but I think it's important. Listen with your body. During a sermon, it's important to listen with our eyes and our posture. Our facial expressions and our nods can actually say a lot to the preacher, but to those around us as well. It actually says a lot. I don't think we realize this. Too often, what are we doing? Probably nodding off rather than nodding in agreement. There's too much nodding off in the service. And too much slouching, too much darting eyes, distracted with everything. Rather than being attentive and listening with our bodies and showing to the preacher that I want to learn, I want to listen, and showing to everyone around you, I love God's word and I want to listen. We need to do that with our bodies. So listen with your body. It's important. It's important as well. I don't know if you realize that The preachers can see so much up the front. It's important for that as well. Ian, he would be able to see a lot every time he's preaching. So listen with your body. Number 10, listen with openness and humility. We need to remember it's God's word we're listening to. We're sitting under God's word. So we need to sit humbly under it. Listen to it in a humble way. And be ready to be rebuked and convicted. And don't just pick out certain preachers, or even online when you're listening to sermons, don't just pick out certain ones because they're the ones you love the most, and you think that the other ones don't give me something that I need. There's a danger with this mentality. We see it in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, following certain men. We need to be open to God's work and His word. And we need to realize that it's His word we're sitting under. We need to be teachable. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says this. If you want, you can flick there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "And we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe." I think we sometimes forget we're listening to the words of God. That's why we come, like our first point said, eager and expectant. We're listening to God's words. And that's why we need to sit humbly under it. That's why we need to, like at this point is saying, listen with openness and humility. Get rid of those preconceived ideas that you have about passages or theologies and things, and let God's word speak. Let God's word direct what you're thinking, and let your life be humbled at times by it, challenged and convicted, because it's God's word and we sit under it. And now that final subpoint, we've seen how we need to prepare, five ways of how we need to listen carefully, five ways now of how we need to respond. This is very important. Responding to God's word. How should we respond? Well, this is our 11th point. Sorry, it's so many. Our 11th point, we need to respond immediately. Respond immediately. Don't put it off till tomorrow. That's one of Satan's key distractions. Making you think, I can do that tomorrow. I'll work on that later on in the week. I'm a bit busy right now. I'm going to work on it later. Don't put off responding. Respond immediately. If you don't, you'll be distracted. You'll forget about it and you won't respond. Number 12, respond with action. We saw in our passage, there's a way of responding with believing. Verse 12, the first group, they didn't believe, but we should respond with a belief. We should respond by bearing fruit. We should respond by being a light. We need to respond with action. Respond with action. What does James say? Be not only hearers of the word, but also doers. Thank you, Steve, in the prayer. So fitting. Be doers of the word. It comes up even in our passage. Have a look at verse 21. I think it's put here in the context because of what we're seeing, this, the importance of listening, and then what happens straight after. Jesus' mothers and brothers, they can't get to him. And then what happens in verse 21? What does Jesus say? Look, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. We need to respond by doing it. So important. And I know we know this one, but do we actually do this one? Do we actually do this point? Or do we just hear sermons again and again, week by week? Do we read God's word through the week? Do we go to Bible study and then straight away it's forgotten? We've done nothing with it. It doesn't impact anything in the week. We need to respond. That's the purpose of God's word. God's word isn't just to give us knowledge. It's not there to build us up. What's the purpose of God's word? It's to transform lives. Spiritual maturity isn't growing in more knowledge. Spiritual maturity is growing in Christ-likeness. It's having your life transformed and growing to be like Him. That's spiritual maturity. You don't come here to get more knowledge, guys. You come here to have your lives transformed. You come here to respond to God's word and to do what it says. The main part isn't actually the listening right now. The main part is the responding and what you do with it after. Don't think you've done enough just because you've come and listened to a sermon this week. We'll keep moving. Number 13, I think we need to respond by talking about the sermon. When we meet as a church, Hebrews 10, Hebrews 3, the purpose of meeting together is to encourage one another. We're to encourage one another, build each other up as well in love and good deeds. And what are we to encourage one another? Well, in the context in Hebrews 10, it's encourage each other with the promises of God. We see that in the verses preceding. Encourage each other with the promises of God. And I think we can do it by talking about the sermons. Talk about the sermons. Respond by talking about it. It's sad when there's little discussion after about the sermon. It's straight away onto the week and the hobbies that you love, the sports teams that you're following, and nothing about the sermon. We don't care about encouraging each other. We aren't doing what we should be with God's word. And as well, a little side point with talking about the sermon, encourage the pastor, encourage the one who's preached. Encourage them, even by asking questions. Ask them something you didn't understand. That will encourage them. It shows there's people listening. Ask them, hang on, where did that thing, that point come from the passage? Or how do I make sense of this? Talk to them. Ask them. And it'll help you as well. It'll grow you. And it'll help you respond properly to God's word. Number 14, respond with endurance. Perseverance is the word used in the passage. And a hunger for more of God's word. We need to desire God's word more. We need to come back and want more. Psalm 19, verse 10. God's word is to be desired more than gold. We need to desire it. And persevere as well in desiring it. And mature. The only way we're going to mature is by constantly desiring it. Constantly growing in it. So we need to come back each week. We need to commit to coming. We need a hunger for more of God's word. Be committed in a local church, in a Bible study. Be committed in your own personal readings. Constantly hungry for more and more of God's word. And number 15, our final one, we got there. Number 15, respond in prayerful reflection. You can flick if you want. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. I'm going to read it out. 2 Timothy 2, verse 7, it says, Paul says here, reflect, and he's been talking about some of the work of the gospel, and he says here in 2 Timothy 2 verse 7, reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Now this is true here, Paul wants Timothy to do this, but we need to do this too with all of God's word. We need to reflect on it. And maybe a note or two through the sermon will help you do that. But we need to reflect on it after. Reflect on what you've learned. And by reflecting, yes, think about it. Yes, pray about it. Pray to God and ask for Him to give you strength to apply it. To help you do what it's saying. To be sitting humbly under the Word. Yes, pray about those things. But reflect as well in the way of actually planning how you can apply that Word. Nothing happens in our life, does it, unless we plan it. We don't go on holiday like that. No one's going on a holiday tomorrow without knowing that they're going on the holiday the day before. They plan it probably weeks and months in advance. We need to plan how we're going to do God's word. How are we going to live it out? So reflect on what you've learnt and plan how you will apply it in your life, in that week, in that situation where you're struggling with that person or that situation at work where you haven't told that person the gospel. Plan. How am I going to apply what I've heard this week? We need to plan it. So, we've heard a lot today. Please, if you do want these points, I can send them out. This is so important. Listening to God's word is something we do with all our lives as Christians. We're constantly sitting under it. We need to get it right. This is the phrase. What's the phrase we've been considering? Consider carefully how you listen. I love some of the other translations. They say, be careful how you listen. So are you doing that? Are you being careful with how you listen to God's word every week? Or are you just coming on a Sunday, listening and going out, and it's gone through one ear, out the other, and it's done nothing in your life? May we be people that have ears to hear. May the soil of our hearts be prepared every time we come to hear God's word. And may any hearts that are hardened to God, hardened to the truth of Christ and what He has done to save, may they be softened. May those hardened hearts be turned into good soil. If that's you here this morning, may you be softened. Pray that God would soften your heart so that you can accept the word. You can believe in Christ. That you can trust in him. That real trust, not just an intellectual belief, but a deep personal faith and trust in him. And may the devil not snatch the word from us. May he not do it right now even. May he not snatch the word from us. May we not have rocky hearts. May the rocky things in our life, the doubts, tribulations, things that can snatch the word and steal the word in this way, be removed. May those weeds, the cares of the world, the love of the world, possessions, may they be stripped away from us. And may we hear God's word with a good and honest heart, holding fast to it and bearing fruit in our lives. So much is at stake when we hear God's word. So I encourage you, church, let's be careful, me included. Let's be careful how we listen every time we hear God's word. Amen. Before I pray and the musicians come up, I want us all, just let's take a moment right now, put some of what we've been talking about into practice. I'm going to give you a minute to reflect, to respond, to pray, to make sure that the devil doesn't snatch the word from you, snatch these things from your life, but to make sure you actually apply these things and live them out, because this isn't just one sermon, but this is hopefully going to help us in every sermon that we hear and every time we come to God's word. So take a moment now to respond and reflect and pray, and then I'll close in prayer.